This Weekend starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Weekend with your host, Gordon Deal.
Our vulnerable supply chains. I'm Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. Here's what's coming up this hour.
The ransomware attack at Colonial Pipeline demonstrated how susceptible our infrastructure can be to hackers. Hear how we can do better.
Corporate sponsorships for college athletics is supposed to be for 90 championships, but they revolve around just one. We'll explain.
Good-natured trash talk on storefront signs has shop owners tapping their creative side to generate publicity. We'll have examples.
And the growing popularity of tiny pools in small New York City backyards.
Just a lot of people in New York want to have a pool in whatever godforsaken space they have. New Yorkers don't have traditional suburban backyards. They either have something on the roof or they've got a little small backyard if they live in like a brownstone or a townhome. We're talking backyards that are like 12 by 20 feet or whatever.
Charles Passy at the Wall Street Journal on tiny pools for cramped New York. We'll start with a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. The businesses of the future are being built today, and Michigan is where they start. Learn more by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity. Well, can the government and or the private sector do a better job in protecting the country from cyber attacks like the one that forced the shutdown of the Colonial Pipeline Network that delivers fuel to many eastern states? In-depth analysis from John Fenton, CEO of Patriot Rail and Ports, an operator of rail and port logistics. John, what was your initial reaction to the Colonial hack?
Well, the initial reaction is I think it's just a reminder to everybody who works in the supply chain that the attacks and the things that are being done by a lot of bad people. And, you know, I think people have potentially a misunderstanding that these are not people in their basements. These are professional people. And it's just a constant reminder of the vigilance you have in protecting your cybersecurity is right at the forefront if you're operating any company in today's world.
I mean, this is happening by these bad actors 24/7. Right. I mean, there's no sleeping on this.
Your network is being probed daily, and that's where you have to have a very, very robust approach to maintaining your security. And I mean, as you can see, large companies, the federal government, any companies are open to this. I mean, you have to have a very robust program to be able to mitigate, and you're constantly learning. You have to take this as something. There is no end to this. These guys are evolving. You have to evolve. You have to be able to utilize all the resources that are available to you to be able to combat this, and you have to have learning. You have to learn from what happens with all these companies, and so this is a real threat to our infrastructure, our assets, and to any of our companies that provide key services.
Do we have weak infrastructure protection versus cyber attacks?
I don't know if I would consider it weak. I think that it's always evolving. And I think that it is a battle of wits, and it's they're constantly evolving and getting smarter and better and changing, and you have to evolve with that. I mean, I think that at any point in time, you should have a nervous edge in your corporation that, yes, you are under attack and people are evolving and you have to make it a high priority. And even with that, you can see that sometimes things happen. And I'm not saying that there was a weakness. I'm saying that maybe, again, they've got a different strategy and they knew where to attack. And you have to have a very robust program, and it's never ending.
Yeah. We're speaking with John Fenton, CEO of Patriot Rail and Ports, operator of rail and port logistics, and we're talking about protecting pipelines and other infrastructure from cyber attack.
Would you like to see the government do more, since I'm not sure whatever it's doing is working, or is this something that's just best left to the private sector?
Well, you know, the one group that I think is great is CISA, which is the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency. They are a great resource. And, you know, again, I think this is a learning for leveraging all of the resources that are out there. And, you know, there's a robust program with the Departments of Homeland Security and Transportation. I think that we're all doing what we need to do to try to stay current and combat this. And, you know, again, you see that it's on the rise. I mean, this is continuing. You see the attacks that are more frequent. And to have all these key resources working together and collaborating, I think we're good about that. I mean, again, we've had really good support from CISA, and we've learned a lot, and we stay very engaged with Homeland Security and to make sure that we're current. And I think, quite frankly, we're doing, at this point, as much as we can. And is there a better way? I think that every time you have an event, you have to learn from it and see if you have gaps and do a self-analysis and see if there are some things that you should improve. And you know, that's the way it evolves. I mean, we're all trying to fight this. And when you're fighting a common enemy, I think that the collaboration is good. Could it be better? I think there is, again, I go back to, you should always be looking at how you can improve and learn from what happens with other companies. Yeah. And the federal government does a good job of helping brief us and keep us up to speed. And they have some great resources that we've used extensively.
I heard this years ago. It remains true, I guess. You tell me that there are two types of companies, those that have been hacked and those that don't know it.
Well, that's a very good point. And sometimes they will get inside your system, and they can be there for weeks, and before you know it, they have full control. And, you know, so those are the things you have to prepare for the worst and hope for the best. And literally, it is a never-ending task in your organization, and you've got to have the best and brightest minds, because I guarantee you the other side has some very capable and smart people that can hurt you and do a lot of damage. And once you are hacked, as you can see, it's not just as easy to turn it around. I mean, they encrypt your software, and they'll give you the keys to that, and it takes some time to work through that. So it's not like when you were held with the ransomware that the next day everything goes back to normal. It you know, they've done damage, and it takes a while to decrypt what they've done to your system.
Thanks, John. John Fenton, CEO of Patriot Rail and Ports. Coming up next, our down and depressed young adults. It's Small Business Month, and Dell Technologies and Windows are celebrating your unstoppable drive. Save up to 45% on powerful PCs with Windows 10 Pro to work from anywhere. Plus top monitors and docks for the ultimate business setup, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the right business tech, server, storage, and cloud solutions at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL for Small Business Month savings. Glad you could spend part of your weekend with us. A new survey by the Harvard Youth Poll has found that 51% of young Americans say they feel down, depressed, or hopeless. It looked at data from 2,500 Americans ages 18 to 29. What can we do as friends and family members for these young adults? Insight from Lee Richardson, licensed professional counselor, who's also founder and clinical director of the Brain Performance Center in Dallas. Lee, how do you see this?
Well, actually, Gordon, you know, if you look back before COVID-19, the mental health of the young adults in the United States was a real concern. Suicide is the second leading cause of death among individuals age 10 to 34. So this isn't something that's brand new. Mm. I think that what has happened, or I'm hoping this, I really want to believe this, is that with the pandemic, we have become more self-aware, and we are finally accepting the fact that it's okay to say we're not okay. And I mean, most of those people, they've either their school or their university closed, or they maybe had to start working from home. You know, maybe they lost their job. They couldn't pay their rent, their mortgage. They had to move back home with their parents. And now both parents are working from home, so that's a really tight situation. They're, the whole world has really changed for that age group.
Has this, so generally speaking, has this number been steady? And let's say some people were actually helped by the pandemic because they didn't have the stress of school or going to an office, but an equal number came in who were troubled by what has happened.
I think you make a really good point, because I have clients that have said, you know what, this is giving me a break. I love being able to sit at home and work in my, from my pajamas, and I'm doing such a good job. So I think that there's been some positive, but at the same time, there's been some negative.
Yeah. So if this survey found was 68% of these young adults, 18 to 29, have little energy, 59%. They have trouble with sleep. How can they be helped? What do we do as friends or family members of these young adults?
Well, I think what we can do is, you know, check in with them and say, hey, I noticed, you know, you're sleeping until 11 or 12. I mean, how are you getting your job done when you're doing that? And, you know, check in with them and let them know that you care and offer some positive comments. You know, it might be helpful if you exercised, if you need to see a counselor, or if you need to talk to a pastor, if you need to talk to somebody. There are people out there that can help you. And I think the power of observation is one of the strongest things that we have. We need to, and we're all stressed out, but we need to slow down and pay attention. And just, I think, by checking in every day, how are you doing today? No, hey, you want to walk outside, get some fresh air? I'll walk with you. Mm. Those are things that, what they take time.
Yeah.
But those are things that will help.
We're speaking with Lee Richardson, licensed counselor, also founder of the Brain Performance Center in Dallas. We're exploring this new survey from the Harvard Youth Poll, which found 51% of young Americans say they feel down, depressed, or hopeless. So to your point, when checking in, as you say, I mean, you have to have some credibility, right? Otherwise, somebody's going to fire back at you and say, well, who are you? What do you know? Why would you suggest that of me? You're not some counselor.
No, you make a very good point, because when you're down, when you're not getting enough sleep, when you're not eating properly, you're in that total reactive mode. That defense system is running at 100%. And I think that many of us, you know, particularly if a parent checks in on, it's you again, Mom.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I've heard it as a parent. So you make a good point, but I think it's not what you say, it's how you say it. You say it in a very non-judgmental way. You say it in a way that represents concern and care.
Thanks, Lee. Lee Richardson, clinical director of the Brain Performance Center in Dallas. Coming up next, raising eyebrows with NCAA sponsorships.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Big name companies and others combine to pay more than $200 million every year to associate their brands with the NCAA. Their sponsorship fees give them the exclusive right to associate with 90 NCAA sports championships. Yet the big sponsorship dollars are not helping any of the sports except one. Here's this weekend's Jennifer Koshenka.
Where's all that ad money from the NCAA basketball tournament going? Well, it's pretty complicated. As Rachel Bachman of the Wall Street Journal tells us, the focus remains on hoops, men's hoops. Rachel, how much do companies like AT&T and Coca-Cola pay to sponsor NCAA championships?
Well, to be clear, Jennifer, these are just the sponsorship fees for these companies to claim the right to be, for instance, the official car rental company or official insurance company of the NCAA. And they buy that right across all sports. And so just for that right, aside from what they spend on buying advertising, for instance, on a broadcast, They pay collectively about $200 million a year. So this is a very lucrative operation for the NCAA.
All right. Where is that money going? Who's getting it?
Well, that's the interesting thing about this. The money is actually going to the broadcasters of the men's basketball tournament, which is CBS and Turner Sports. So about 10 years ago, the NCAA essentially created a shortcut and said, you know, we want to put these sponsorship sales in the hands of pros, maybe add a benefit to this big, huge broadcast rights contract that CBS and Turner have to broadcast the men's basketball tournament. And so they essentially shifted sales of all NCAA sponsorships for all sports into the hands of the broadcasters for the men's basketball tournament. And they've operated that way ever since.
And what do CBS and Turner do with that money? Do they keep it?
They do keep it. And in fact, the only specific amount that CBS and Turner pay the NCAA every year is this huge dollar amount that they have agreed on in advance to pay for the whole package, primarily for broadcasting the men's tournament. But these sponsorship rights are a huge benefit of that package as well. So over time, you know, in round numbers, CBS and Turner pay the NCAA almost $1 billion a year for this huge bundle of rights for the men's basketball tournament and, like I said, the sponsorship fees. But, you know, for instance, if they sell more in sponsorships in a given year, CBS and Turner, they don't then pay the NCAA more money. They just get to keep that revenue and essentially put it toward their annual payment to the NCAA, which is a fixed amount that increases a little bit every year as agreed upon in their contract.
We're speaking with Rachel Bachman of the Wall Street Journal. Rachel, with a focus or perhaps a renewed focus on gender equity in college sports lately, might anything change?
Well, that's a great question. You know, the CBS Turner contract with the NCAA runs through 2032. And so assuming that the stipulations in it don't have any expiration date, then this probably won't change.
You know, the NCAA has come under a lot of fire recently for a lot of reasons and is in focus because of this, paying college athletes on some level. Is this one more criticism of the organization that may eventually lead to its demise someday?
Well, it certainly is under a lot of heat, and there have been criticisms of NCAA leadership because, you know, a number of these issues really have been festering for quite a long time. That, you know, sports outside men's basketball have been frustrated that they don't have more autonomy to try to build up, you know, bigger followings. As you mentioned, there's this big name, image, likeness debate where college athletes say, hey, you know, you're making billions of dollars off this enterprise. You all can make, you know, essentially unlimited salaries, coaches and administrators, while athletes are, their revenue is essentially, their income is capped at essentially tuition, room, and board. And really NCAA leaders, all the way down from the NCAA executive office to the individual school level have not adequately addressed these issues. And that's why you're seeing, for instance, state and even federal legislators trying to take this on because NCAA leaders haven't done it.
That's this weekend's Jennifer Koschenka with Wall Street Journal sports reporter Rachel Bachman. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Weekend. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy. Glad you could be with us. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Coming up this half hour, the search for jobs with purpose. Also, is life insurance a good investment now that stocks are surging? Plus, tiny pools for a big city and trash talking on storefront signs. We'll have that story in about 20 minutes. Well, for a number of Americans, the pandemic has given them time to think. Maybe the free time came from being laid off or working from home without a strenuous commute. And some have used the moment to consider a career change, a kind of job reckoning. More from Katie Johnston, staff writer at the Boston Globe. Katie, what are you hearing?
Well, a lot of people are really taking stock of, you know, where they spend most of their time. You know, everybody's job was affected by the pandemic, it seems, whether you were laid off or whether you're working from home or whether you're working on the front lines. Everybody thought about what they were doing, and some people had the benefit of having time, maybe no commute, or, you know, they're home with their kids and they're bored out of their minds. And people just really started reevaluating what they were doing with their life.
Wow. All right. So did some of these realizations come from people who, like you said, may have been laid off, or is that from folks who were just still fully working?
Yes, all of the above. I talked to one guy who was a cook at a hotel in Boston, and he was laid off right at the beginning of the pandemic, and had the benefit of having free time and some generous unemployment benefits. And so he enrolled in a coding boot camp and just landed a job a couple weeks ago as a software engineer at a healthcare-related startup in Boston. Making more money, having better hours, you know, getting into a more stable field than hospitality.
Wow. So chef to coder. I mean, that's, I don't know if that's a 180, but I mean, that's a career switch. Did you find those are happening?
Yeah. A lot of people are doing really different things. There was a woman I talked to who was working as a business development manager and traveling a lot, like a big corporate job, and decided she wanted to spend more time with her family. She has two young kids, and so she had quit her job. She had planned to take a sabbatical, but that turned into homeschooling her kids. And she started working on her long-held dream of opening her own organic cosmetics company, and she started doing it. I mean, some people obviously have the benefit of having support of a spouse financially or with healthcare. So obviously everyone can't make a 180, but a lot of people are getting very creative in what they're doing. I talked to one woman who, because she didn't have a 2-hour commute anymore, she suddenly had time to devote to a side project and launched her own business on the side because she had this extra time.
We're speaking with Katie Johnston, staff writer at the Boston Globe. Her piece is called Pandemic Spurs Search for Jobs with Purpose. What else did you hear? Give another example.
Right. There was a woman who was working at Boston Children's Hospital, and she went and spent time with her parents in Brattleboro, Vermont. And then she and her partner decided to move to California because he had family out there. They wanted to be in a nice climate around places where they could hike and mountain bike. And they just started doing their jobs remotely, living in different towns, moving around. And then she rediscovered her passion for the mental health field and seeing what was going on with a pandemic and people needing access to mental health like never before, mental health care like never before, rather. And she got another job, also working remotely, but for a California company. So she kind of used her free time and her new geographic location and looked at the needs of the world and what she was interested in and made a big shift.
Wow. Are these, do you find that these folks are happier than ever at this point?
They seem to be. I mean, a lot of people have just started making these switches. I think people think there's going to be a lot more happening now that things are opening up more and people are getting vaccinated and there's more jobs to be had. You know, it was tougher over the past year. But people are really thinking about meaning and purpose more. You know, I think the pandemic made people realize, hey, life is short. I should try and find something that's more meaningful to me, or at least something that I don't hate, right? I think some people realize their employers didn't treat them that well during the pandemic. Some people were totally overworked and still are. And if you have the luxury of being able to switch careers, I think it's making people think a lot. Some people don't want to go back to the office, right?
Yeah.
Some people like working from home, and employers are starting to call them back in. So it's a really time of reckoning, I think, for people to think about what they're doing with their lives.
Thanks, Katie. Katie Johnston, staff writer at the Boston Globe. Coming up next, considering life insurance during a rising stock market. When you start a small business, you do it because it's something that you love. And when it's successful, that's great. But it brings new challenges you might not have thought of, mainly HR. HR compliance issues can cause complex problems that, let's face it, you don't have time for. And it's got to be done right or it could destroy your business. Bambee, spelled B-A-M-B-E-E, was created specifically for small businesses. Get a dedicated HR manager available by phone, email, or real-time chat to craft HR policy and maintain your compliance, all for just $99 a month. And there's no risk. It's month-to-month with no hidden fees. Cancel anytime. Bambee's dedicated HR managers will know your business and your specific concerns no matter what state you're in.
With Bambi, you'll have peace of mind and never worry about HR compliance again. Go to Bambi.com/Gordon right now to schedule your free HR audit. That's Bambi.com/Gordon, spelled BAM to the BEE.com/Gordon. Hey, thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. The roaring stock market would seem to make 2021 an ideal year to choose permanent life insurance. That's the policy type that combines a death benefit with an investment component. But even now, be careful about opting for permanent policy over term life insurance. Guidance from Paul Reynolds, insurance editor at Money.com. Paul, what's happening right now?
What's happening in this market is that I think it's natural for people when, you know, the stock market is doing as well as it is, for them to take a look at, maybe this is time for me to take advantage in another way of the stock market by getting the type of insurance, which is called permanent life insurance, that combines both a death benefit and a cash value. And so it's essentially both an investment and insurance. And in these kind of times, it's natural to take a look at that, and we thought it'd be good to sort of go over the math and figure out, is this a better time than most for people to really take a look at this kind of investment slash insurance policy?
And who might this be best for, a permanent life insurance policy?
Well, it's really best off for people who are high income, who maybe have maxed out on their other tax-deferred vehicles like IRAs or 401ks. One of the advantages of permanent life insurance is that, like a 401k or an IRA, the earnings that you make on those investments accumulate tax-deferred until you draw them out. So it's really a lot for people who've maxed out on those other vehicles for tax-deferred investment and still want to continue to invest. Generally, people may be older. They may be interested in leaving a legacy to their heirs when they go. So, you know, really someone who wants to provide less maybe for themselves in retirement than for the people who may inherit their wealth.
Okay. But they are expensive, correct?
Well, that's one of the downsides, is that, you know, it's all very well to look at the eventual payoff from these, but the most popular type of permanent life insurance, particularly, which is called whole life insurance, the premiums for the same amount of death benefit coverage are way more than they are for term life insurance, which is the type of insurance most people choose, like 10 or 15 times as much.
Wow.
So you need to make sure that you can afford to pay the premiums now, let alone, you know, looking at the payoff down the road.
Thanks, Paul. Paul Reynolds, insurance editor at Money.com. Coming up next, tiny pools for a big city. It's Small Business Month, and Dell Technologies and Windows are celebrating your unstoppable drive. Save up to 45% on powerful PCs with Windows 10 Pro to work from anywhere. Plus top monitors and docks for the ultimate business setup, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the right business tech, server, storage, and cloud solutions at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL for Small Business Month savings. Well, the country is reopening, but not everyone is so sure about public pools. Heading into summer, residents of the New York metro area are finding ways to wedge water features into the tiniest of spaces. It's a story by Charles Passy, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Charles, what's trending?
Just a lot of people in New York want to have a pool in whatever godforsaken space they have. you know, New Yorkers don't have traditional suburban backyards. They either have something on the roof or they've got a little small backyard if they live in like a brownstone or a townhome. I mean, we're talking backyards that are like 12 by 20 feet or whatever, and they are trying to figure out a way to have a pool. This is all, of course, really related to COVID and the pandemic in that, you know, there's still a growing hesitation about being in, you know, public environments like a public pool. And then, frankly, I think people have really gotten used to the whole concept of sort of nesting in place. And all that has sort of led to this boom in backyard or roof deck pools, and they're not easy to pull off, but people are doing them.
Wow. All right. So hot tubs, I guess, generally speaking, fit in that space, but they're hard to come by these days, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, almost anybody you talk to who's in this business, meaning the pool installers, builders, say that get on the waiting list. There's not a lot of availability. A lot of it has to do with just the sheer glut of people who want these things. And also, there is also shortages on some of the supplies. I'm told that in the case of pools, things like resin are in very short supply. So there's a bit of a waiting list. And then, of course, even if you want to do one, if you're talking about a pool as opposed to a hot tub, which is above ground, let's just say if you're talking about a pool, it's not an easy thing to do, so it's time-consuming to do. Literally, if you're talking about a backyard pool in a brownstone, they can't bring in, an excavator and a dump truck right at the physical location, so they have to cart out the dirt in buckets. So the job can just drag on for weeks. So, all this makes for a very, you're going to be waiting for a while if you want a pool. First to get on the list, then to actually get the work done. This is not an easy process.
We're speaking with Charles Passy, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. His story is called Tiny Pools Are Big in Cramped New York. Too, with all those these tall apartment buildings and condo buildings. If you want one on a higher floor, the logistics of that, I can't even begin to process.
Well, they, as one builder told me, will crane the pool to you. So they literally will hoist the pool or the pool structure on a crane and bring it up to the location, if you can imagine that. The other problem with pool and, roof deck pools, penthouse or roof deck pools, is the weight distribution, because essentially what you don't want is something that heavy on the roof that's going to crash through.
Thanks, Charles. Charles Passy, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Let's finish with this fun story about a battle over store signs. It started with a spontaneous sign outside a music store in a Southwest Virginia town. Jim Bohan, music instructor at Bridge Caldrow Music in Christiansburg, Virginia, put a message on the store's marquee that read, "Hey, Super Shoes, want to start a sign war?" Mr. Bohan told the Washington Post there wasn't a real reason for the message other than he wanted to stir up some fun in the town of just over 22,000 residents. 3 days later, though, the shoe store next door fired back. It wrote, "Hey, Bridge Caldrow, our shoestrings are stronger than your guitar strings." And it was game on. As the neighbors traded gentle insults on their respective storefront signs, surrounding businesses started chiming in, from pharmacies to funeral homes, dental offices to churches. Yoshi Koeda, who owns Kabuki Japanese Steakhouse directly across the street, put on his sign, "You got to be sharp to make good sushi, and we won't string you along." In a tiny town in Canada, the owner of an auto glass store asked Dairy Queen on its marquee if it wanted a sign war. DQ's response, "You bet your glass we do." That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Weekend.